Expat Life.
Get it on.
Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Good. Greetings, NFRs. Again, I'm not here. Again, this is using the magic of technology. This was recorded a few days ago. Special guest I've been trying to get on the show now for years. I managed to grab her dad once. But now we've got the real full-on Kira. Kira Farolo. Now, you're a repat. Well, you're an expat because you're living in London, right?
I'm still living in London.
So the actual full-on expat, but going the other way. Hardest question of the whole session, right, is the next one, which is, Kira Farolo, who do you think you are?
I'm just thinking how to begin. I would probably describe myself, firstly, as a very positive and optimistic person who loves to do a lot of things and who ended up focusing on classical music for the last maybe 15 years.
Right?
But I just love a lot of things about art, I think, and people coming together. And I also love the connection I have with the music, my own connection with it.
And classical music in particular, or just music in general?
I think music in general, but it just happened that through my training, I also found like a very intimate relationship with the classical canonic works.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the start then. This is a little bit of the show that we call the throwback, when this is when a man says, "Tell me about your childhood."
Expat Life.
Throwback. Tell me about your childhood.
With pleasure.
So, raised in Bucharest, right?
Yep.
So you're a proper Bucharest girl.
Proper Bucharest girl.
Yeah. Wow, it's a big place though, isn't it, Bucharest? Which part of Bucharest?
I'm very central. I hate to admit, but there are still suburbs that I've never been to, and I was very much in the city centre for my whole life.
Yeah, like the ultra central. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Calais Victoria.
The furthest I've been is probably my music school. Behind Unirea at Lipati College.
Right, yes. We'll definitely be talking about that. Your daily commute halfway across town, all 500 metres of. So, growing up as a child, I remember first time I ever met you, which is probably 20 years ago now, or more, when you were at the Montessori Kindergarten.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you remember about that?
I remember Miss Olympia, who was our teacher, and I remember doing a lot of chores around there, kind of.
Were you forced to, or did you volunteer?
That I don't remember, but I remember enjoying doing it. I always had to sweep something for some reason. the main thing I remember is probably the building, because it was it's close to Elvira Popescu, and it was this huge, beautiful house.
Wasn't it?
And that was always actually impressing me when I remember going through the doors and acknowledging the house.
Because it had its own particular methods, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think it was, I didn't think about kindergarten until much later when I was told that it's actually a different way. I mean, I was unaware that I was experiencing such an amazing thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But the whole idea was you get to explore your passions. And so what were you doing most, apart from sweeping the floor?
I mean, around that age, I would say before school, I was very much into drawing.
Right.
And my parents were very positive about that because they helped me organize my first exhibition in the corridor of our apartment when I was about five. So they made a proper, a guest list, and we invited people for food and things. And then we had a guided tour of my probably 12 drawings or 15.
I remember it. I was there. Yes.
So I did like drawing a lot at that point, yeah.
So at what point did you first touch the piano? I'm going to take a question before that. Obviously passionate about music. Was it piano and then music, or was it music and then you chose the piano?
It was music and then piano.
Right. You didn't have any ideas to try with something else, like drums or something?
Yeah, it's a funny story. I mean, my first contact with music was actually through my ballet lessons, because obviously we had to dance to the tracks,
right.
And I really enjoyed doing that.
Okay.
And I loved ballet as well. Mm. So drawing in ballet, that's how original for a young girl, right?
Right.
But I was very passionate about these things, and I enjoyed the music as well as the dancing part. Mm. And then later on, I went to a choir for kids.
Right.
And there I was told, actually, she's got some rhythm. She's got a good ear.
Mm-hmm.
So why doesn't she try an instrument?
Right.
And I kind of ended up going to piano lessons. Mm-hmm. I had the keyboard at home before, so probably my parents thought it would be nice if she knows how to play.
Right.
And the first piano lessons were really tedious because it's very slow and you just play like one finger at
a
time.
One finger, one note.
Like,
I remember those. Put me off for life.
Yeah, it's not very exciting when you start it. And then I went to a concert at the Athenaeum.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard some very special pieces of music. And I was like, wait, I want to be able to do that.
Uh-huh.
And right. That's when it all started.
Right. So the passion was entirely driven by yourself.
Yes.
Right. Because I remember you were committed. Kira is practicing. Was a phrase that was often heard. Leave Kira alone, she's practicing, right? Even down to the point when, I'm going to tell this story, right?
Yeah, you go on.
We would often go down in the summer to Vama Beke. Mm. The marvelous Casa Nikita was.
Yeah.
And I would go there and work in the garden. Because I could, like a digital nomad. And here's Kira every afternoon, coming back from the beach. Because in the guest house, she brought her piano. Yeah. And there she was, serenading me while I was working away. And it was all very nice. But and this was what I mean about your passion, right? You were, even on summer holidays at the seaside, your piano was never far from your fingertips, right?
Yeah.
And this was, you were completely, I'm determined. No way back.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say my parents were very supportive in these holidays because, I mean, when you go to such a nice place like Vama Veke and there's like Gogo Shika next to you and you have the beach, yep, and everything is really fun there. I did struggle a little bit to tune back the piano, so I was tempted like, oh, I'll just leave it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then my parents would kind of remind me like, okay, but you said you want to do this, so can you... Mm-hmm. Please stick to it and show your commitment. So right. Then, you know, I would try to practice for a couple of hours, mm-hmm, or something and then go again and have fun. But this consistency was really what brought me to this place.
Because if you take a month off in the summer, you're going to have to somehow catch it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Especially when you start.
Mm-hmm. Did you have dreams as a child to be a big old classical player, Yuja Wang Hiromi, someone like that? Or were you thinking, well, a rock band might work for me? Or did you not even think about it? It's just music.
Yeah, I think first I really liked the idea of, you know, I would see Elisabeth Leonskaya and Yuja Wang and Marta Argerich in the UNESCO festival. Mm-hmm. And I thought like, wow, these women are cool. Mm-hmm. Like they just make this huge noise, yeah, and everybody's watching and like you get all these applause and, mm-hmm, ovations. And I was like, that looks really powerful. Really wanted to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So I think it was the idea of actually being a concert pianist.
Right.
And go play on these huge, mm-hmm, instruments that, mm-hmm, sound absolutely amazing.
And have everybody looking at you.
In a way, yes.
Yeah. As the keyboard player in a rock band, it's usually at the back.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't tried it, so I can't say I don't want it, but, mm-hmm, it's very different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally different. And then at a point, it got really properly serious when you ended up at the Party Music School, right?
Yeah. I mean,
Is that when you realized, okay, this stuff's getting real now?
I was the one who asked my parents if I could move there, mm-hmm, and for about a year, they were still hesitating because there's this idea that if you go to music school, the rest of your education kind of goes down the drain because you just play and you don't do any school and, mm-hmm, you're just kind of, you know, a musician.
Yeah.
And so once I got there.
It's a bad thing.
Well, in the, you know, nowadays when everybody wants degrees and medias ecce and baccalaureate, it's
but
was an ideal.
Well, but I mean, but you got the back. You did both, right? You managed to not let the, let's say, the regular education suffer because of the time you spent music. You crammed them both in, which is why you didn't get much sleep.
Yeah, a little bit. And then also before I, like for my first 2 years of high school, I wanted to go to a good high school. So I tried to get into Lazar.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So I was there for 2 years as well for philology.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, determined is what you are. Kira wants something, Kira gets it. That's what it sounds like. Okay, let's talk about music. And let's pick your first piece of music, what you want to play us. I mean, you were going to play some music that you actually play yourself with your own fingers and some other music that you chose by other people just to vary things up a bit. What do we do first?
Well, I was thinking we could start, speaking of Vama Veke, we could start with In the Summertime by Jerry Mungo.
This
one? Mungo Jerry.
In the Summertime. Yes, excellent. And we'll play that and then we'll have a small commercial break. And we'll be back in a minute.
Philosophy. Sing along with us, dee 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 dee, da 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 da, yeah we're happy, da da da, dee da da dee da 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 da, da 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 da, right on, da 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 da, right on. Summertime, and we'll sing again. We go driving, or maybe we'll settle down. If she's rich, if she's nice, bring your friends, and we'll all go into town. You can find. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, you can turn or return to 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it good and live by. We love people, we love daddy, we love mean. We love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing in the sea. We're always happy, the last we're living, yeah, that's our philosophy. Sing along with us, dee 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 dee, da 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 da, yeah, we're happy, da da da, dee da da dee da da da.
Expat Life. Expat Life.
Money, money, money.
life, Kira Frollo. Now, we were just leading the story onto the part where you get serious now and you're at the Dinoli Party School, and then you wanted that and you managed to persuade your parents that I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And can you remember your first day?
I remember walking into the classroom and being absolutely flabbergasted that everybody is playing an instrument. And there
isn't that kind of why you were there?
I know, but I didn't expect people to play the clarinet or like oboe or violin and viola. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, you guys are doing so many things.
Yeah, but there's more than like more than just a piano.
Yeah. So that was quite nice. I felt that we were all there because we have our instruments and we're all practicing. And I was also quite nervous because I hadn't had many, you know, music theory lessons, like sight singing and all of this stuff. And so I felt like I was a bit behind and like I'm a bit, I need to catch up. So it was a bit stressful at first.
Yeah, but the competitive spirit came to the front, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I worked quite hard there, but I also, again, my parents helped me and we managed to get some private lessons so I could actually have the basis of this stuff. Because they were quite advanced in the fourth grade and fifth, they already been doing it for a while, so.
And you had to, okay, so in Insta, you had to catch up and you did.
Yeah.
And you did. How long did you spend there?
I was there from the second semester of fourth grade until eighth grade, including eighth grade. So I moved for high school.
Okay.
Yeah. So middle school,
four
basically.
4 good years of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And did you still feel you had some catching up to do when you left it, or had you got to the top by now?
In a way, that's why I kind of want to move, because I thought I've experienced most of the things the school had to offer, and I thought maybe I should challenge myself a little bit. Because I've already won this Olimpiada, which is like the big music competition, and every year I was getting to the final round. And it was nice because I also kind of saw the same people. It was we were always the same people getting there.
Let's talk about this. Music competitions, yeah? Not just about concerts, competitions. What was your first time you were ever in competition with a prize at stake?
It must have been when I was still in music school number 3.
Right.
And there was this yearly competition for amateurs at the end of the... Yeah, I already said that. The end of year competition.
Right.
Where we got to play our pieces in Palato Copilo.
Ah, right.
And there were two other classmates from the same piano teacher doing the competition. And we were quite competitive between ourselves. And I actually practiced a lot more, then I got a better result. So I was like, oh, I quite like this.
Right, so let's keep practicing and let's win.
Yeah.
So it was... and then... But no sort of nerves, no stress. It's just, I am going to win this. That's it, because I'm Kira.
Yeah, when I was younger, I'm surprised at how much more relaxed and focused I was than my teenage years or even now.
Well, teenage years are like that. That's what teenagers are for.
Yeah.
Be a little bit out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you after 4 years of... Did you get... to travel around much while you were there in these competitions, or were they all locally based?
Some of them were in Bucharest,
right.
But I also went to Timișoara and to Iași, Cluj, maybe for the final, because the final round of Olimpiada is always somewhere else.
Right.
So we would go there for the finals.
Talking of that, you just come back from Cetate.
Yes, the Sonora Festival.
So what, playing or just... viewing? Was it another competition? What was that about?
It was not a competition this time. It was just an amazing week of music making and lots of rehearsals and exchanges with the professors we had there. We had some amazing chamber musicians and we work with them in the same group. So for example, if I play a piece, some of the classmates will be also students, and then one or two from this chamber group will be a professor leading us and teaching us how to communicate.
Right.
And it was really amazing. I had a fantastic quintet with Dennis Goldfield and a lot of people from around the country, from Timișoara, Iași, and Bucharest, me.
Yeah. So that's a whole different activity, playing with a small group of musicians, I mean, together, rather than being the leader of an orchestra or a solo player.
Yeah, it's now very different.
More jazzy. You know, you've got more... You feed the musicians feed off each other. You've got improvisation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you have to react. I mean, if you have a score, mm-hmm. In the concert, kind of like you get into the character and right. then you might do something mm-hmm. different than what you did at the rehearsal. So right. you have to trust your fellow musicians to react to that and give you the space for you to
right.
play the mm-hmm. way you want.
Right. Talking about the score, yeah, because mm-hmm. I've watched you play, and I've seen some of the. You can play 8 million notes a minute, right? And so the process.
It probably sounds more impressive than it actually is.
No, it's impressive, but still, the point is, do you in real time process the score, and or do you just use that as kind of cue cards, and actually it's all in your head?
I think it varies for everyone,
right.
but my own experience is that first I kind of get to know the score visually. So I imagine actually what happens on each page. Mm-hmm. And if I get lost, the first thing that comes to mind is probably the space on the page.
Right.
But once you learn the score, then you start relying on other things. So for example, you have to listen to a melody
right.
and then you focus on that, on how it sounds. Mm-hmm. Or you focus on a specific order of fingers or a distance.
Right.
So it's a combination of visual, auditive, and muscle memory, really. Right. And I mean, you know, you get to learn this, and once you know your process, it gets easier.
Right.
But you need to be aware that it's a bit more than just listening or just looking at the score.
Mm-hmm. I know musicians who can't play a note without looking at the score. And I know people like Paul McCartney who can't read music.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Right. And there's everything in between.
Hey, yeah. I mean, like we said, it's super personal. Yeah. Singers don't really know how to read score sometimes.
No. Let's go back to another piece of music. Second piece. Are we gonna hear from you this time or from someone else again?
Why don't we play one of my recordings?
Which one?
So it's Schumann Fantasy, which was written for his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah?
Right. And this is the piece that I played for my final recital for my master's. So it meant it was kind of the end of a long time at the academy.
Uh-huh.
It's quite a special end of student life.
Well, how long did you spend? I mean, because I know that when you work on a piece, right? And you work on a piece for a long time.
Yeah.
And you really focus on nothing else but this piece until you've cracked it?
Yeah. I mean, during studying... Wait, this is bad English. I'll try that again.
Edit point.
During my studies... no, that's also not good.
That's perfectly good enough. I'll shut up and let you say that again.
Whilst in conservatoire, you get a lot of time to really focus on a few pieces
right.
because you have the exams at the end of the year
mm-hmm.
and you really have nothing else to do but make sure that they're as perfect as they can be.
Right.
So you do drill everything mm-hmm. in with a lot of work. But now, since I've finished, I realize that actually you have to do a lot more things at the same time
mm-hmm.
and you need to be really good with planning.
Right. Yes.
Because you don't get like 8 hours a day to spend on three pieces. You get four to spend on 16 or whatever.
Right. Okay. Well, then you got to play them all, right? You can't just say, I'll just forget about those three.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I have done that before. And then you realize, like, okay, I should not have done
that. That's the piece they ask for, the one I haven't learned.
Yeah.
Now I'm in trouble.
So you just have to do, like, a little bit every day.
So this one, Schumann Fantasy, Opus 17.
Yes.
Do the first movement.
The first movement.
Oh, this is Kira. Kira's very own 10 fingers. Listen up.
Thank you. Expat Life.
Prin Joi Înșine, o zi întreagă de muzică 100% românească, 100% organică și 100% proaspătă pentru tine și cei dragi, livrată de Carrefour Bio la Radio Guerilla. Carrefour Bio, plăcerea de a mânca sănătos în fiecare zi.
E dulce Românie, 40 de hoți care se luptă pe o felie, ciopani ca Miorița, pseudopatrioți.
Vine Alibaba și le ia oile la toți.
O zicem cu mândrie să se știe lumea toată, pasărea de noapte, ce specie protejată. Bravo Românico, cel mai șmecher brand de țară, trăiască video vorba, niciodată să nu moară. Capul ce se pleacă, paloșul nu-l taie, dar cu umilință lanțul în covoaie. Unde ești tu, țepești, Doamne, ca să iei pe toți? S-o punem de ușa urmă cu sos de mafie. Aici are dreptate cine urlă cel mai tare. E locul care caie, care porcii în spinare. E țara care nicio umilință nu mai doare. Așa e când stomacul ți-e lipit de spinare. Coperta face carte și haina-l face pe om. La mână ai un Rolex și sub unghii cer lozion. E țara care cine poate fură azi un ou, mâine fură găina și parchează ca un bou. La stânga sau la dreapta, depinde unde-i șoapta. La stânga sau la dreapta, depinde cum e șoapta. La stânga sau la dreapta, depinde unde-i șoapta. Ce-ți doresc că ție e dulce Românie, să nu mai fii subiect de nadoție, dă-mi o mie. Vândută pe ai țării, dragi conducători, te-au îngropat cu totul și vin la mormânt cu flori. Zic că din jos române, dă și tu un ban sărmane, să poată prea fericitul să se năfăie în merțane. Când de nimic nu-ți pasă, doar să-ți umpli burdihanul. Iisus e doar pe buze, dar în inimă-i satanul.
Prin Joi Înșine, o zi întreagă de muzică 100% românească, 100% organică și 100% proaspătă pentru tine și cei dragi, livrată de Carrefour Bio la Radio Guerilla. Carrefour Bio, plăcerea de a mânca sănătos în fiecare zi.
Expat Life.
Chaotic. Exotic.
Exotic.
And we're back in Expat Life again, and it's Kira Brolu still here.
Yes.
Yeah, and after listening to that marvelous rendition of the Schumann, we move the story on. Now, you had just said, my work here is done at Dino Lipati, not to put it in any other way. And then what?
Well, then I moved to Lazar for 2 years to do philology. So literature and foreign languages, history.
Now, this did not replace the music, right? This was alongside it.
Yes, it was alongside it. And I was very determined that I would continue with my music study privately.
Right.
And so that was a great idea on paper. but obviously, as a musician, one of the most important things is the entourage. So the people you talk to, the people you play with. Mm-hmm. Being constantly encouraged or challenged, which unfortunately I lacked with this normal high school for the music side, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up learning a lot of other useful things from school, actually.
Yes, well, that's what it's
which
there
was
for.
Great.
Other skills like what? Okay, I'm going to challenge you now. You said you learned other. What was the first thing that comes to your mind?
How to learn, how to read, and how to talk to people. I know that sounds a bit funny, but when I first joined the school, you know, it's a high profile school in Bucharest.
Mm-hmm.
And so the professors were they wanted to scare us a little bit in our first week by giving a lot of homework or giving a test or stuff like that. And it was quite challenging and I wasn't used to this kind of thing. But then obviously I also wanted to do music and in the 10th grade, I started flying to London once a month for some piano lessons because I was preparing to come here anyway.
Yeah.
But I had to miss some of the weekends and there was really no time for me to do the homework.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the most important subjects on Monday. So, and usually all the tests or the exams were on Monday and I didn't have time to do homeworks and things. So I had to learn to kind of explain a bit the situation without sounding too beggarish or cheap, or just like, oh, I'm doing music. Can you please excuse me? And then we also had some teachers, like actually my favorite subjects for history and Romanian literature, who weren't just happy with you learning and reciting the lesson. They actually asked questions.
Oh,
and if you wanted to get a good mark, you really had to know and just search the
understand
things
and
that,
think your way through it.
So it just kind of nudged me, like, it's if water. You don't know what this means, just look it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
As you said, once a month you were flying to London, and this was almost straight away?
So the ninth grade I started at Lazar, and right. I was very happy with my new school. Mm-hmm. I was still trying to practice by myself, and I had a teacher in Berlin. I would fly to Berlin every 3 months or every 4 months, mm-hmm. which is not a lot. Like, at that age.
But for how long would you stay there?
Maybe just the weekend, and I would have 7 hours in a weekend or eight.
Whoa.
Like four and four, mm-hmm. and then just fly home. So it was quite quick, and it was a lot of cramming because mm-hmm. I had homework to do and trying to learn new pieces. But also at that age, that's not enough. I mean, people have three lessons a week at that age.
Right.
Ooh. After 1 year, I had to play a concert, and I realized that I'm actually playing the same stuff as before. I don't love it. I don't know what to do. And I just feel like I'm not enjoying this as much, and I feel like I'm not very good at it anymore. So I was kind of stuck uh-huh. after a year because I had nothing to look forward to, really.
Okay.
So luckily, my mother helped me look for some masterclasses during the summer. We mm-hmm. were looking for some summer courses.
Yeah.
And I met two professors that were teaching in Germany for like juniors, pre-college. And so Germany and Weimar and London.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried it with both, and I had a difficult time deciding. But eventually I thought, okay, this guy in London, he's very organized mm-hmm. and he's very inspiring.
Uh-huh.
And so we thought I would join the school in London for sixth form, so 11th and 12th grade equivalent of Romania.
Mm-hmm.
So in my 10th grade, I started preparing with him for my audition to make sure I get in.
Right.
What really inspired me was that he was thinking long term.
Right.
So he started with some scales. I was like, dude,
hello.
I can play this. And then it was like some very stuff we started with that I thought I was good at. And he completely changed my perspective on sound and these kind of things. I'm very happy that I chose London. It was, at least for that school, mm-hmm. for the personal school, that was really amazing. Probably best time of my life.
So you did that. Was it nerve-wracking, that audition? Or did you feel confident that you were just going to get through anyway?
Well, another thing I like about my teacher was that, I mean, he's a head of keyboard. So obviously he could just be like, oh, you're definitely getting in because you're my student. But he always told me, well, we've got a lot of people. And so he never made me feel entitled to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I was entitled, but I wasn't favored or anything. So he really just made me work to my best. Mm-hmm. So I was quite nervous for the audition.
Yeah.
Because kind of my musical future was hanging in it.
True. Yes.
Yeah.
So how did you find settling in?
Settling in the school was the easiest thing I've ever had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the people there when I joined were actually foreigners. They were all boarders.
Right.
And everyone was used to being a bit alone. And so everyone was available to be there for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some other Eastern people, some Western, like German or mm-hmm. whatever. And everybody just kind of embraced everybody. And you just knew that you're going to be friends and there wasn't much exclusion, and also the schedule was insane. I mean, we had so much stuff to do, and you really don't have time to miss home, which was good.
And you've been there how long now?
2 years.
2 years.
I was in Purcell for 2 years before going to the academy in London.
Mm-hmm. How did you end up on the BBC?
On the BBC? That's funny, actually. I ended up there because I had a concert in Bucharest. I got this award from Radio România Muzical.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the equivalent of BBC Young Musician here.
Right.
And they award these prizes with a bit of money, but also the best part about it mm-hmm. is that you get concerts.
Right.
And I played in the radio hall.
Mm-hmm. The best acoustics in the whole city.
And I also played with other philharmonics and orchestras in the country. And so I recorded a recital there. I just found out a couple of months later that BBC played it. But I had no idea they took the recording or they knew who I was or anything.
So concerts, right? So, I mean, you're studying, but you're having to pay your way here. And now proper full-on professional piano, concert pianist. That's what you are.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Where's the greatest place you've played?
Greatest place I've played would actually be the Radio Hall.
Really?
Because I've grown up with concerts there, right. And I always saw the greatest artists. Mm-hmm. And as you see, the acoustic is great.
Yeah.
And not just that, but the piano they have there, this huge Steinway. It's just different when you play there. You get ideas just by playing the instrument.
Uh-huh.
And my rehearsal time before the concert was probably the most creative thing I had in a while at that point.
Yeah.
Just because you can just play with the sound and it responds so quickly, mm-hmm. that you start layering your thoughts better.
Right.
So that was really great.
What about Piano Stars?
Piano Stars. I think that goes back to my description of myself of being a very positive and optimistic person.
Right.
Just kidding. No. I really struggled to get to where I am now. Mm. Because I had these gaps in my education, in my musical education, mm-hmm. and I didn't have a mentor from a young age because my parents are not musicians. So we just I kind of had to half guess everything we're mm-hmm. doing. So I know a lot of things I struggled with and that are not necessarily taught here at music school.
Right.
So I wanted to do something that would prepare younger pianists, mm-hmm. if they want to have like a professional, you know, like go for an international career,
right.
that they wouldn't have to wait all the way to conservatoire to have these experiences.
Uh-huh.
So we had some concerts and we invited teachers I had met throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
They got individual lessons, they got group lessons, they experienced this idea of a community.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have liked them to play for each other and be supportive and just try to work more as teams rather than soloists.
Right.
I think it was quite successful. People seemed to enjoy it. And I personally think they developed so much over the festival. This was not a one-week thing. It was we strung it along several months. And we had some cultural institutes involved. The Goethe Institute, the Hungarian Institute.
Right.
We had some wonderful sponsors, mm-hmm. that made that possible. Arkub, mm-hmm. was a fantastic place to hold the festival in. They offered the piano and we had places to practice and to chat.
So now you are pretty much settled in London now.
I am based in London, at least for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit difficult now that I've finished because you think, I can do so many things. But at the same time, most of my gigs were coming through the conservatoire because that's just how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So when I finished, I realized I don't just need to practice, but I need to meet some new people. I need to establish some connections there to have access to spaces, to think of forming things with other people.
Right.
And this year was just it just passed by really quickly and I didn't exactly, you know, realize which way I need to go just because there's so many things that you can do.
You also now have to effectively be your agent then as
exactly.
well as
it's always quite daunting to write to people and sort of present yourself. You're like, hi, hire me. but that was actually a good point that we touched on in this Sonora Festival, mm-hmm. We had a round table with the professors.
Right.
And they were very helpful, encouraging mm-hmm. us to, but kind of talking about the selling side,
yes. mm-hmm.
as successful musicians themselves.
Time for your next piece of music. Which piece are you going to play with now?
Why don't we play Diamonds on My Mind? Because a girl's got a party. I'm
I just gotta check. Fuck it, I could get it back. Mama gotta earn. Bitches like you never learn. Diamonds on my mind. I'm freaking all night. Always on the grind. Look at me now. I just gotta check. Fuck it, I could get it back. Mama gotta earn. Bitches like you never learn. Diamonds on my mind. I'm freaking all night. Always on the grind. Look at me now. I just gotta check. Fuck it, I could get it back. Mama gotta earn. Bitches like you never learn. Diamonds on my mind. I'm freaking all night. Always on the grind. Look at me now. I just gotta check. Fuck it, I could get it back. Mama gotta earn. Bitches like you never learn. Diamonds on my mind. I'm freaking all night. Always on the grind. Look at me now. I just gotta check. Fuck it, I could get it back. Mama gotta earn. Bitches like you never learn. Diamonds on my mind. I'm freaking all night. Always on the grind. Look at me now. I just gotta check. Fuck it, I could get it back. Mama gotta earn. Bitches like you never learn. Diamonds on my mind. I'm freaking all night. Always on the grind. Look at me now. I just gotta check. Fuck it, I could get it back. Mama gotta earn. Bitches like you never learn. Diamonds on my mind. I'm freaking all night. Always on the grind. Look at me now. I just gotta check. Fuck it, I could get it back. Mama gotta earn. Bitches like you never learn. Diamonds on my mind. I'm freaking all night. Always on the grind. Look at me now.
Expat Life.
Good people gather around Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Next chapter.
And we're back. It's
hello.
Gina Ferrano. This is the last, next chapter it's called. Last chapter of the show. Next chapter of your life. What happens next?
So as I was saying before, I think I'm trying to go both ways with doing my own solo stuff and still practicing as much as I can and learning new repertoire, but also kind of working towards this admin side, which is part of it is for myself, part of it is for future festivals that I would love to start.
Right.
And then there's another side, which is kind of like the fun bit, the really fun bit, where I start thinking about some projects that are a little bit more cross art. So maybe something with the projections or with artists, like visual artists,
dancers. Multimedia whole thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to try something that includes classical music in some really cool, funky stuff.
And sort of modern ballet ideas here.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely one of them. And, you know, with all my ballet lessons as a child, I would absolutely be thrilled to incorporate that in what I do. So that's something I'm working towards now and trying to meet new people. I'm very open to suggestions and anyone who wants to try something, I'm really excited to hear about it. I just want to meet new, interesting people.
So how do we find you?
I have Instagram. I'm on Instagram, Kira Dora Frolu.
Kira Dora Frolu.
Yes.
And
my name is not Dora. My middle name is Theodora. But for some reason, that's what I wrote when I first created Instagram. So now it's Kira Dora Frolu.
Okay.
And I'm also on Facebook, and I will soon have a website.
Geographically, you're going to stay where you are, but occupationally, you're going to expand your horizons.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. But yep. I still need to get one, you know, try the competitions.
Right.
So you have a very impressive CV and then people actually listen to you.
Right.
So that's also part of the near future, like the next 5 years, I will be doing competitions as
well. What's the next one?
Well, I'm working towards the next edition of UNESCO, well, UNESCO competition.
Right.
So fingers crossed.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Solo. I'm working now on Mozarski Pictures at an exhibition.
Yes.
Which is actually a work in progress project with the new theater, Kalia Grivice,
right.
53.
Uh-huh.
So we're trying to put together something for that really cool new space.
I think on that note, it's already, we're out of time. And we have to play your last bit of music. And it's another piece by you.
All right. Let's put the Petrushka, because we're talking about Mussorgsky and orchestral pieces. And Petrushka is also a piano transcription of the orchestra version. So that's me playing the second movement of the Petrushka Suite for piano by Stravinsky.
Thank you very much, Kira Frolu.
Thank you so much, very Steve.
Nice story, beautifully told. and yeah, front row tickets, please, for that Pictures and Exhibition thing.
You got it. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for finally managed to get you to sit still for an hour.
It went by so quickly, honestly.
It did not, didn't it? Just yes. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Kira. This has been Expat Life.
Listen again to this and previous shows. Find us at expatlife.ro.
Good night, everybody. Pentru limba română, apasă 1.